Welcome, football fans, far and wide, to another edition of IDP Plus Injury Pod. That is right, folks. I'm your host, Sebastian Fearon, aka the DGen Doc here, and we're talking football. That's right, we are talking the National Football League. It is never too early to talk football. We just had the draft, about two weeks ago. Season's going to be here before we know it. We got OTAs starting soon. I mean, hey, football season is basically here. So it's the perfect time to get started. I know you're itching to talk about the NFL, talk about whether it's IDP, normal fantasy, dynasty stuff, whatever it may be. I know you're itching to talk football because I am too. Listen, I mean, what? We had just broke the NFL draft attendance record for over 700,000 people over in Detroit. That was awesome to see. And it just means, look, people are excited for football. Football is king. Football is the sport that we all love so much. So why not? Let's talk football. Jeez. All right. Getting through there. So guys, this is an NFL offseason update series. So at this point, this is episode 6. So we're getting close to being done here. The entire AFC is now done. We did an NFC South episode last week, and today, episode 6, as you can probably already tell from the title, it is going to be the big bad NFC West. That is right. So for those of you who are new, maybe this is your first time checking in, because it really doesn't matter what order you go in. I am your host. I am Sebastian Fearon, aka the DGen Doc. Quick flash of the credentials that I know you probably do not care about. But if you have any interest in finding out my background, a physical therapist for the United States Army, strength and conditioning, rehab, that's kind of my jam, what I've been studying pretty much my whole life. So I went into a little bit more detail about all those nerdy credentials. If you have any interest, that's in the intro episode. So that is episode 1, where we talked and opened it up with the AFC East. So if you have any interest in there, go ahead and check that out. But I know most of you do not, so I'm not going to bore you. I said I'd only do it one time. I'm only doing it one time. But let's go ahead and just dive right into it, folks. I'm jacked up to talk the NFC West here. So we got 8 guys we're going to be talking about. And the way this works, so listen, there's a lot of big injuries that are going to affect the 2024 NFL season. A lot of guys who either ended the year on IR, who got hurt in the last game, who have some type of injury question marks coming in to this 2024 season. So with so many injuries, best way to break it down is just go right by division. So with this episode, we're going to go ahead and do what I like to do, and that's frame it by talking about the injury first. We have quite a few injuries where there's multiple players. So we'll talk about the injury first. We'll kind of get into the, what is the injury, recovery timeline, re-injury rates, things like that. And then we'll break it down by each player specific situation, right? So, depending on how the injury breakdowns go, sometimes I'll do that. Sometimes I'll go by team if it's a lot of onesies and twosies. But today we definitely have our big two. So we're going to go ahead and start with the injury. So let's go ahead and start first with an Achilles tendon tear. That's right, an Achilles tear. That is what we have up first on the docket. 3 guys in the NFC West. Well, okay, a little bit of a caveat. 2 guys, but I had to rope some guy in here because he got signed to a team after I did his episode. So I'll get into that. It's J.K. Dobbins. Yes, I completely understand. J.K. Dobbins is not in the NFC West. He's in the AFC West with the Chargers. Him and the Gus Bus reunite over with Harbaugh out there. But I had to throw him in here. He's a big enough name. He's a free agent. I would definitely want to talk to about him. So, hey, already the AFC, so let me just throw him in into the NFC West. But let's talk about Achilles tendon. So your Achilles tendon, a tendon is what attaches a muscle to a bone. So in this case, your Achilles tendon attaches your calf muscle to your bone there, to your calcaneus or your heel bone, as you can see on the picture on the far left. So you have 2 calf muscles. You have your gastroc and your soleus. Soleus kind of sits deeper underneath that. Both connect to the Achilles tendon. So in this case, what really happens is your calf muscle allows for that explosive power in your lower leg, right? So it allows you to kind of be able to jump. I mean, really, and it allows you to push off of the ground, right? When it's fully torn, you really have like no control. It's kind of just sitting limp there. You're just not able to do much. So obviously can't play football. But when we talk about what it requires a surgery to go ahead and put that back together. That's where we call our orthopedic surgeon friends. Unfortunately, I wish you could just rehab and with me in physical therapy and we could just get you better like Wolverine, but that is not how that works. So it's definitely one of those Humpty Dumpties. Got to put you back together. So typically about a 10 to 12 month recovery time. Now, when I say recovery timeline, I'm not talking about when that tendon is fully healed. I'm talking about when that athlete is ready to get back to the sport, right? When am I expecting this guy to actually be able to play the game of football? Typically return to play window, it's that 10 to 12 months, around 11 months is typically what we see with players. Obviously can be a little bit shifted to the left and right depending on a specific situation. So this first guy up here, and we typically will see a dip in performance that first year after injury, especially with our running backs and wide receivers, our skill guys, you see it more so. But the nice part is long term, after this immediate season, there is not as much effects. However, the immediate season after, you usually will see a dip in performance there. So let's kick it off with the first guy, and that is what I think. I mean, obviously all these are big injuries, all of these are unfortunate, but this one was just brutal. And that is Mr. Dre Greenlaw. Like, man, can you imagine? You work your ass off for the entire season. You finally get to the Super Bowl, you get to the pinnacle, you know, you're trying to cement your place in NFL glory to be a legend and Super Bowl winner for your team. And really, Dre Greenlaw, you got to love the intensity he plays with, but it kind of came back to bite him here. He injured himself not even on a play. I mean, this happened in the Super Bowl. I'm sure you guys are all tracking this. You all remember, but it was not even during a play. It was when the team was preparing to run onto the field. He was psyching himself up, getting himself ready to go. You know, I think this was second quarter, maybe third quarter, but fairly early on in the game. And yeah, he tried to jump, and you know how that Achilles tendon ruptures can happen is it's kind of like that quick action when you're trying to quickly pivot or jump and that calf really just pops, right? There's a lot of different kind of, you know, theories as far as it was a regenerative thing, you know, is it just a freak accident thing? It's kind of hard to tell. It's a lot more theoretical there. Depending on who you ask, you'll probably get a different answer. But we know that he tore his Achilles, and unfortunately, you know, as great as it is to make the Super Bowl, it is the absolute worst time to have a major injury when we're talking about the next season, right? He's only going to have 7 months until week one of the 2024 season. Again, 10 months is usually like best case, typically closer to 11. So there's a good chance that Dre Greenlaw is going to miss almost the entire 2024 NFL season. You know, he's definitely going to be starting on the PUP. You know, he's definitely going to be out for the first half of the season, but like there's a legitimate chance that we're not going to see Dre Greenlaw. I mean, maybe if they make another, deep playoff run, which that team is definitely very capable of. But as far as something like IDP fantasy, you know, it's definitely not somebody you want to really be targeting for this season. I just don't, even if he does play in the second half of the season, it takes some time. Like, I don't think he's going to be immediately just out there and ready to cause havoc, right? So unfortunately for Dre Greenlaw, with just how late he had this major injury, I really don't see him being able to get back to 100% really by the end of the season. Again, maybe a deep playoff run, best case scenario, and he can kind of like put it together, has some time, you know, to that point where if they do make it to another Super Bowl, it's close to a year out. Sure, then you can potentially tell me that he's going to do something. But up until that point, man, it's very, very hard to believe that Dre Greenlaw is going to be a very big producer, because I don't think he's going to be on the field for this season. So very unfortunate for Dre Greenlaw. Love the way he plays. Great linebacker, great cover guy. But unfortunately, that intensity kind of came to bite him a little bit in the Super Bowl. All right, now we're talking about Mr. Odd Guy Out, a guy who really doesn't fit because he's not actually in the NFC West. But again, he was a free agent. I don't know where he was going to go, so I kind of left him out, figured I'd throw him in here for the other side of the conference. But this is now Chargers running back J.K. Dobbins. He also had an Achilles tear. So, you know, really, he's a guy who coming out of, I'm not going to say it, I'm just going to say coming out of that university, that Ohio State University, he had a lot of promise. I mean, obviously, he was a great prospect. He had a great rookie year in 2020, but he's just been plagued by injuries. I mean, he's played 9 games in the last 3 seasons. 2021, he had that brutal knee injury. It was, you know, not just ACL, I believe MCL, PCL as well. Back in 2021, right before the season, he missed that entire season, and he missed the first half of the 2022 season. You know, there's all those pictures of his, like, basically looked like a bionic knee, looked like he had something stuck in his knee because it took multiple surgeries, and that can happen. You know, when you have multiple ligament injuries, that unfortunately can be a thing. But, you know, he was coming back. He was supposed to be, he played near the end of 2022. He was supposed to be healthy and good to go coming into 2023. And unfortunately, week one against the Houston Texans, he tore his Achilles on a really unassuming play. It was a very interesting play that it kind of happened on that not something you would really expect. But yeah, I mean, hey, it definitely happened. Only good thing about him tearing his Achilles week one is that he has almost a full year until week one of the 2024 season to be able to be ready to play. Now, you know, for that purpose, for the Achilles tear, if it was in isolation, if we were in a vacuum, you know, 12 months is good, right? That's about all you can ask for as far as having some recovery time there. So, you know, I do think he'll be active and ready to go for the season. It's just hard to trust, you know, to really, and I guess, again, a lot of this stuff is, you know, where are you getting this guy at? What's his ADP value? Like, what's the market telling you, right? I can't imagine too many people are going to be super high on J.K. Dobbins, but only playing 9 games in 3 seasons is an absolute red flag. I mean, that's about as red as it gets, right? So I think it's a little bit hard to be super optimistic about J.K. Dobbins. I think, you know, you can be a little cautiously optimistic for this injury in particular, like, you know, having 12 months on Achilles tear is good. However, most guys come in that first season off Achilles tear, you know, especially your running backs and wide receivers, they do see a performance dip, right? So it's, again, I can't imagine being super high on J.K. Dobbins this year. Now, if you're going to get him for free, basically, or you're not really wasting any capital, you know, you get him in a late round, or maybe he doesn't even go drafted, depending on, you know, how it's shaping up, right? But we don't know how that Chargers backfield is going to look like with him and Gus Edwards. I mean, I guess we saw it in Baltimore, and you know, Dobbins was the lead guy, but Gus Bus is a little bit more dependable as far as staying healthy. I think Dobbins definitely gives you a higher upside, but you do get that risk there with that injury history. That's pretty concerning. So I'm not super high, unfortunately, on Dobbins this year. You know, we'll see how he looks in training camps. We'll see how he looks in preseason. It's just 9 games in the last 3 seasons. That is not good for a running. I mean, that's not good for anybody, but especially a running back that's had 2 major injuries. Yeah, I think I'm good. I can hold off on that one. All right, moving over to another defender and going to the Los Angeles Rams here. New addition to the Los Angeles Rams, Mr. Tre'Davious White, former Buffalo Bill cornerback, who's another guy who's just got all the talent in the world and just can't stay on the damn field. You know, he's played 10 games in the last 2 seasons. You know, he started his career pretty healthy, nothing too crazy. And then, you know, he had that ACL tear, not last season, but the season before. And as he was coming back from that this season, he unfortunately tore his Achilles. And you could just tell, like, it's just so brutal to watch guys, like, because they'll typically, if it's a big enough injury, like something, especially like an Achilles, I mean, you feel like, you know, patients say it feels like, you know, it was almost like you got shot in the back of the leg, or it's just like this audible pop, and like you just know, right? You know, when you're talking about something like a tendon tearing, like it doesn't take a rocket scientist to really figure it out, right? It's pretty immediate right away. But yeah, pictures like this always kind of get me, because it's just like there's just so much emotion there, right? There's just someone who, this is their livelihood. This is what they love to do. And at the moment, you know, they're kind of at the bottom of the down in the dumps, right? At the bottom of the barrel. It's just like, damn, like the game they love kind of being taken away from them, at least for the immediate future. This is one of the reasons why I got into rehab, because you take someone, an athlete, an individual, kind of at their lowest point. Injuries are a very humbling process. They, you know, physically, mentally can wear on you. But if you can, you know, the goal is to build that person not only to where they were, but to a better spot, right? That's kind of the challenge and the draw to it. So, you know, definitely feel for Tre'Davious White there, but he's going to have 11 months for recovery time there, which is pretty good. He tore his Achilles in early October. A little bit of a similar situation to the Dobbins thing. You know, it's like they're coming right off an ACL tear to an Achilles tear. Like, come on, you know, that's a little bit tough to want to get behind there. I think that, you know, White is a guy that going to a new system, maybe that's exactly what he needs, being in LA, being able to, cause let's be honest, when he was healthy, he was locked down. He was a great player. So, you know, a little bit of a gamble here by the Rams, but if this hits, I mean, this could be a really, really impactful injury, not even just fantasy wise, but, you know, in that division. I think the Rams are kind of an interesting team where, you know, with Donald retiring, obviously that brings a whole new fold into it, but you got Puka Nacua, you got Cooper Kupp. You know, I think you got some guys on the other side that can keep you in games. And if that defense can have another lockdown corner a la Jalen Ramsey, hey, that's how they won a Super Bowl, right? So I know you don't have Aaron Donald there, so it's going to be a little bit interesting. But as far as Tre'Davious White and this injury, I think the good news is he should be ready to go by the season, the start of the 2024 season. It's just a giant question mark is, hey, you know, coming off an Achilles tear and an ACL tear just before, you know, how much can we trust this guy to stay healthy? And there's definitely some, you know, with those two major injuries, there's definitely some re-injury risk concerns, not only for those injuries, but for, you know, kind of the entire lower body there. So both, you know, J.K. Dobbins and Tre'Davious White, it's a similar sentiment of they should be ready for this season. It's just how much can you trust them to stay healthy and produce coming off two back-to-back major injuries, right? Typically not somebody I want to bet on, but it's something where, hey, if you're going to get them for free, you know, there's not a lot of risk associated with it. They have shown that they are good enough talents that, you know, if they are able to stay healthy, you might be able to get a steal there. So kind of depending on the situation, not something I'm trying to really waste a lot of draft capital on. But if they're free, potentially somebody who we'll look how they look in the preseason, offseason, and kind of as it gets closer this season, but potentially some guys who've shown they could do it before. And if they just stay healthy, they could do it again. All right, moving on. We're now going to be moving up the chain here, going from the ankle and we're going up to the knee. Talking about an ACL tear. I know I was just talking about some ACL tears with these guys previously because they were coming off some ACL tears before they tore these Achilles. Now, your ACL, your anterior cruciate ligament, it is right there in the middle. It's the guy that's cut in half. I know it's a little small, but it's that white guy in the middle cut in half. Yeah, so what does your anterior cruciate ligament do? It is in one of the major stabilizing ligaments of your knee. It prevents that tibia from translating onto the femur, basically your shin from like shooting out, especially when you're decelerating, things like that. It's just a big stability piece, successfully dynamically while we're moving, cutting, deceleration, things like that. That's why those things typically take a while to come back, because it's getting that knee to not only trust that, but, you know, those movement patterns to kind of reset after. I mean, hey, this is another one that requires surgery. You got to relearn how to walk. I mean, it is the whole shebang, right? So ACL tear, typically, again, similarly, a 10 to 12 month recovery timeline. You know, I think that obviously back in the day, this used to be something that was more of a career ender. Now it's, you know, thank you, modern technology, where it's not really a career ender, but it's not also a great indicator for that next season. Similarly to the Achilles tendon tear, you will see a dip, especially in your skill player guys, in that previous season. It also has a re-injury risk, not only to the ACL, but to the other side to the contralateral side or your other ACL, which is always interesting. You know, it's something that when you come back from unilateral injuries, one-sided injuries, there is a big tendency for muscle imbalances or for wrong motor patterns to develop where the body's smart and it's going to find the path of least resistance. But that does not always mean that that's the most biomechanically, like that's the most advantageous thing, right? Sometimes we have to counteract that. And that's why you see a lot of mirrors and isolated work, but just trying to, you know, get a person to understand their body spatial awareness where you think about this. So you, because they talk about ACLs can take up to 2 years for someone to return to their normal movement, right? So you, especially as an athlete, you are used to moving one way your whole time, right? Take a running back. You've been cutting this certain way. You've, you know, developed your running style. You've been hammering this into the ground. You're a professional athlete. You practice this every day and boom, right? You tear your ACL and now you have to relearn how to walk and relearn that whole process. So something it took you years to develop as far as with your nervous system and your kind of that neuromuscular control there, that nerve to muscle system. Now you're trying to essentially reprogram that, right? And that's not always something that happens very quickly. Even if that ligament can be healed, there's a psychological piece of trusting the knee. And then there's also that neuromotor aspect, right? Neuromuscular aspect that comes into play there. So that is your ACL tear. And the first guy up with the ACL tear is safety for the San Francisco 49ers, Talona Hufanga. What an awesome player. He is super fun, flies around in the back end there for San Francisco. They really missed him when he was out, having to go between Logan Ryan and the rookie Jair Brown, who kind of both struggled, they each had their own issues. But yeah, he absolutely got juked out of his shoes here by Rashad White. And this is where he did injure and tear his ACL. Again, it can happen typically when you're cutting or decelerating or trying to prevent your motion from going one way. And, you know, due to a quick response and unexpected reaction, obviously he's trying to respond to Rashad White here, cutting in the other direction, that ligament collapses and tears. So Hufanga injured himself November 21st, 2023. So he's got about 9.5 months of recovery time until week one. So a little, you know, typically it's at 10 to 12, but I like guys to have around closer to 11, 11 and a half is kind of that sweet spot. 9.5 is a little early. I'd be a little bit surprised if he came out week one and was a full go. I'd say either he plays with a limitation or he's, you know, sits out those first couple weeks there. But again, 9.5 is pretty close. You don't typically want to go before 9. So there's significant injury risks, increases when you return before 9 months. So he wouldn't be in that threshold with the 9.5. So, you know, it's not the craziest thing in the world to think he could be ready for week one. I just think that it's going to take some time for him to get back. So even if he is out there, do not expect him to be the Hufanga that he was, you know, right before the injury. I think it'll probably take him a couple weeks, potentially by weeks 5 to 6. That's when you can really see him come into form. There's a chance that he can start looking like his old self. But again, some guys, it could take up to 2 years to really get back to that motion. You see a lot with the running backs, you know, obviously as a Giants fan, I have the Saquon Barkley thing in my head where he looked like the best, you know, the best to do it really since Barry Sanders. And then he went from being that elusive, you know, athletic freak to somebody who looks like they're stuck in the mud. So these can be pretty brutal injuries. For Hufanga, he's got a chance to be ready for the start of the season. I think it might be a little bit of a stretch. I would expect him to either be limited or potentially, you know, miss the first couple weeks. But then by weeks 5 or 6, I would expect him to start getting back to his starting role and getting back those reps. Maybe not at the same level, but starting to make some of those plays where he can look like his old self. All right, folks, we are right close to that halfway point in the show. And you know what that means? I get to tell you about some of our awesome, awesome sponsors here at IDP Plus. First, I get to invite you to our draft night out. That is right. I know you don't, but just in case you needed another reason to head out to Canton, Ohio for the Fantasy Football Expo in August, We have one. Come join us on Saturday, August 10th at the Brew Kettle next to the Pro Football Hall of Fame for a drafting extravaganza. And for the first time ever, IDP Plus is hosting an IDP League. Be a part of history. Check out the link in the show description and get signed up today. That is right, folks. Yeah, definitely join us out there. I'm pretty excited. All things, you know, if all things go as planned, I should be out there for my first Fantasy Football Expo out there in Canton, Ohio. Would be pretty stoked for that, to be able to check out the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I know there's a bunch of great guys and gals that go out there, and I've heard really, really good things about that event. So definitely encourage you guys to come out, hang out with us over there. And then, yeah, draft with us. Show people what IDP is all about and building that defensive community there. Other thing is Trophy Smack. That's right. It is getting close to draft season if it's not already here, folks. You want to get ahead of the game now with Trophy Smack's gorgeous draft boards complete with player stickers so deep you probably don't need them all. And for the first time, Trophy Smack has an IDP expansion pack for all of us defensive nerds. That is right. Check out the link in the show notes to get yours today. So you'll link that for your Trophy Smack. And then obviously also the IDP Draft Night Out. And the last thing I want to tell you about is our partnership with Expedia. You know, it's getting close to summertime there. So hopefully getting some vacations planned, but everybody loves going on vacation. Nobody loves planning for it. I don't want to be clicking through a billion tabs trying to find the best deals. That's why Expedia is so nice, because it's all in one place, right? You got Mother's Day on the horizon, so maybe you want to make it special for your mom. You can get 10% or more off at over 100,000 hotels worldwide and 30% off when booking a flight today. So the way it works is we will put our affiliate link in the show notes, and since you are a fan of us, you will get special access to all of those unique discounts and offers there. So of course at IDP Plus, we are just trying to help you out, save you some money, and then on the other side, hopefully win you some money. All right, folks, let's go ahead and get back to talking about, so we were talking about ACLs, and I got another guy who's coming into the season with an ACL, coming off an ACL tear. He's also got an MCL tear, so a multi-ligament injury here. So ACL again is that pinkish ligament now in the front, and then your MCL is over on the right side of the screen there. It's inside of the lead, your medial collateral ligament. So both of them are stabilizing ligaments. You know, MCL is not, you know, if you tore that, it's, the recovery timeline for the MCL is, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, way less compared to your ACL. But when you do start to have these multi-ligament injuries, like Rams tight end Tyler Higbee did, it does start to lengthen that window a little bit. You know, it's not typically, research shows that it takes somebody longer to come back from multi-ligament injury, which is the case with Tyler Higbee, than an isolated, just an ACL tear. And that makes sense. You know, you got more things damaged, more things you have to rehab, come back from, longer recovery time. I think that logically kind of checks out. But yeah, so he's got the ACL and the MCL. He also had a very late injury, because he injured it in the playoffs. You see here, I believe it's Kirby Joseph that takes out his knee here. It's very brutal, very brutal hit. I mean, I kind of feel for the defenders, because like if you hit them, you know, anywhere above the 8 and the 9, that's a penalty. You know, you don't want to, you know, he's a bigger guy. I'm not sure if you want to just square him up there. So I'm not saying that I advise and I like defenders going for the knee, but I do kind of understand Kirby Joseph's position here as far as like, what are these guys supposed to do? Right. So I hate the hit as far as just how dangerous they are. But in this situation, I kind of understand. You know, I don't think Kirby Joseph was trying to be dirty here. I think he just didn't want to get a penalty, and he didn't want him to catch the ball, right? So anyway, Higbee injured himself 14th of January of this year. And so he's got about 8 months of recovery time until week one. Again, I said it already before, 9 months is a big no-go for me. For most people, because of those significant injury risks. So typically close to that 10 and a half, 11, 11 and a half timeline. So he's going to miss some time. You know, I think it's you never want to guarantee some of these things because you could have a unicorn like Adrian Peterson. But I would say that is very likely that Tyler Higbee starts on the PUP this season. I think McVay's already talked about that, and that's kind of the expectation. So, yeah, I would not expect much from Higbee the first half of the season. And really, even when he comes back in the second half of the season, I don't think it's going to take him a little while to kind of hit the ground running. That's how they brought in Colby Parkinson. You got Davis Allen there. So it's going to be an interesting spot for that offense who's been so used to having Higbee there and be a reliable target for them. I think they're in order for that offense to be effective, they do need a solid tight end target. So whether it's Colby Parkinson or Davis Allen, I mean, you got some opportunity there if either of those guys can step up. It'd be a nice little fantasy spot there. But for Higbee, unfortunately, I think he starts the year on the PUP, doesn't really come back until the midway point in the season. Kind of takes a few games to be able to even really get going. You know, maybe it's a situation he's a late waiver wire pickup and he gets into a groove and can potentially help you out in a jam because tight ends can be a crapshoot in fantasy anyway. But definitely not a guy I'm targeting or drafting or anything like that with Tyler Higbee. All right. Now we're going to move over to, we got three more injuries and we got three more players. So we're going back to our onesies and our twosies here. And we're going to talk about a pec tear. That is right. It is an injury we've talked about before on this podcast. As you can see, we got a couple that are going to have some pretty gnarly discolorations, some pretty like, hey, you don't need to be a doctor to tell me what that is, right? I think it's pretty obvious that's, something's fucked up in there, right? So, that's a pec tear. Basically, the bruising just shows you that, hey, your body knows there's an injury, right? It's trying to rush blood to the area to get good nutrients and to try to help repair it, even though, yeah, that's going to need surgery. So what is a pec tear? Pectoralis muscle. You have your pec major and your pec minor. Pec major is obviously the bigger one. It's got a couple different connections, both to your clavicle up top and to your essentially your humerus, right? Sternocostal head. It's got two heads, basically two attachment points, right? So that means a couple different spots that it can tear. Typically, it is on the sternocostal head. Right. Typically, it is the one that's kind of connecting to the arm there. But basically, similar to any type of tendon tear, that tendon can completely tear to where it's no longer connected to the bone. And you have a lot of that swelling and inflammation immediately. And you can get that discoloration. And that's going to require surgery. Right. When we talk about muscle tears and tendon tears and things like that, they're typically graded. Grade one is a minor injury. Grade two is a moderate injury, but it's still attached, as in like we can rehab grade ones, grade twos. Grade three is when it's completely torn off the bone. And yeah, nothing I can do, right? I can just get you ready for surgery and then you got to go see the guys making the big bucks, right? So that's your pec tear. Typically about a 4 to 6 month recovery timeline after surgery. So a little bit, significantly less than your ACLs, your Achilles, things like that. We got a guy here. First Seattle Seahawk on the pod here. And that's outside linebacker Uchenna Nwosu. Hope I'm saying that right. He injured himself October 26, 2023. He's got about 10 and a half months of recovery timeline, which is plenty for a pec tear. So even though, which it makes sense due to the injury, often you typically see this in more lineman type, especially your O-line as they punch across and that pec is really important. But same thing with the D-line. They got a hand fight in there. That's large individuals exerting a lot of force, getting some awkward positions, definitely can get some pec tears. They're not super, super common, but in the game of football, they're way more common than they are just out in the real world, right? So, but pretty good news for Nwosu as far as he's got almost double the time you really would need to be able to return to sport. So I think he's going to be good to go for the Seattle Seahawks, and he's going to have a decent amount of time where he can, actually get some reps in training camp and not be super rusty coming into the season. All right, moving on to another discoloration funky looking injury, and that is your biceps tear, your biceps tendon tear. As you can see here, very similar to the pec tear where, hey, oof, that, yeah, probably doesn't look right, right? Probably means something happened. Yeah, you'd be correct, right? Biceps muscle tore from tendon there. So these are pretty gnarly, you know, ones that you can just see. I have the anatomical picture here that can show like, oh, first picture, everything's all right. And, you know, second picture, it's kind of coming down. And then, boom, one of those biceps heads. So biceps brachii, biceps, you know, by two heads, right? So similar thing with the triceps, three heads, right? So anyway, biceps with the two heads in here, one of the heads is torn. And that's where you'll get all that discoloration, swelling. And again, it requires somebody way smarter than me and way more talented than me to put you back together again with our orthopedic surgeons. Real MVPs there of being able to do that stuff. So typically about a 10 to 11 month recovery timeline. And you know, it's pretty decently long, right? So pec tear is only 4 to 6, but your biceps more closer to 10 to 11 month mark. And especially you got to make sure you're good to go as you know, we see these more so with the linemen as well. Sometimes when you're trying to make a tackle and you extend that arm out, you'll see them in the linebacker level. That's where we have it with middle linebacker Kazir White for the Arizona Cardinals. Was the leading tackler for them last year before he got hurt. He's really been a very productive member of that defense for the past few years. But unfortunately, on November 19th, he tore his biceps, was out for the year. So he's going to have about 9.5 months of recovery timeline, a little bit less than I would like him to as far as getting into that 10 to 11 month window. Now, he does have a shot to be ready for the season. However, I think he's also got a decent shot to not be good, exactly ready to go for week one. We'll see. Some of these defenders and linebackers, they're pretty gnarly. They kind of get out there and tough it out. Obviously it'll be up to the medical staff and things like that, but you know, once you get to that close to that 10 month mark, nine and a half month mark, it's kind of up to the player if they feel like they can give it a go. So I'd say that, you know, he's got a pretty good chance to actually be out there for week one and be able to start making plays. We'll see how he kind of progresses through training camp, through OTAs, to make sure there's no setbacks and anything like that. But typically when these guys come back, they do pretty well. So as long as they get that necessary recovery time where he's going to be right up against it there with the 9.5 months, I think that he's got a good chance to have a pretty decent year. I mean, he was a very, very, very productive linebacker for that team. That team's going to be very interesting. They've got Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's see how they look. I think that's going to be Kyler Murray, hopefully, you know, stays healthy coming off that ACL tear a few years ago. They're a big question mark. We'll see how Jonathan Gannon over there can get those guys to rally. But pretty optimistic there for Kazir White. Last guy, another linebacker and a new addition that we're going to be talking about here. But the injury itself is a wrist surgery, wrist dislocation. Now, it's going to be a little bit of broad because the injury wasn't exactly disclosed. So, you know, it's really a little bit of an educated guess. you can call it a SWAG, a new term I hear it here in training, a scientific wild ass guess. Apparently it's a, you know, the military loves their acronyms. So that's one I thought was pretty funny and can apply to some of these things, but that's a little bit of a SWAG here is what we're doing. But in the X-ray, I'm assuming it was not this gnarly of an injury. This is actually from a motorcycle accident. But as you can see, when we say a wrist dislocation, when something's dislocated, as you probably know, it's just not where it's supposed to be, right? So it's kind of knocked out of place of the joint there. Obviously, your wrist is those, you know, your forearm bones are supposed to be connected and sitting nicely on the wrist and the hand there. Obviously, this is not the case where homie's hand is not only off to the right, but also yeah, that's just like on top of each other. That's a pretty gnarly, disgusting injury that I'm glad we're just seeing the x-ray of. But typically, again, depends on the severity and the complication. But in most cases, 4 to 6 month recovery timeline, because I haven't read or seen anything crazy about, and we're talking about Jerome Baker for new Seattle Seahawk Jerome Baker, former Miami Dolphin Jerome Baker. Typically when something is either too very complicated or it's a very severe dislocation where the timeline and the surgery would need to, you know, repair more, so the time recovery timeline is going to extend out, you kind of hear about that pretty soon after the surgery. Haven't heard anything in that case for Baker. Now, he did get cut from Miami, really kind of a cap casualty, but they said for a failed physical, which obviously if he's still like rehabbing, that kind of makes sense. So I'm not sure if that was just more gamesmanship or what that's all about, but kind of messed up there for guys who've been with the organization for a while. But kind of nature of the business, nature of the beast there. But he injured himself right before the playoffs against the Buffalo Bills that last week game, really, on the 7th of January. And he's got 8 months of recovery timeline. So again, as long as it wasn't anything super complex or severe or just a crazy dislocation, which I think we would have heard of by now, Baker should be trending and on track to play starting week one for the Seattle Seahawks there. Believe they brought him over to be a starter. So we'll see. Obviously, training camp and all those things will decide. But Jerome Baker should be set up in a new city, a passionate city, where they're going to be packing Lumen Field, which is a really nice field if you have not been. I was able to go to a Steelers with the wife, support the wife's team, a Steelers Seahawks game that was actually really, you know, Mason Rudolph was wheeling and dealing, but that's a really nice environment. Not quite as loud as I thought, but again, Steelers fans travel, so you know, I they did say that it wasn't going to be as loud as it can be, because there was a decent amount of Steelers fans there. But that's a nice stadium out there in Lumen Field, and I think Jerome Baker's going to fit well in that defense. He's been a very productive member of the Miami Dolphins. And now he goes over to Seattle to try to help shore up that linebacker room. All right, folks, we did it. We did it. 6 episodes down, we have went through the AFC East, the AFC North, the AFC South, the AFC West. Last week was the NFC South, and now the NFC West. 6 divisions down, 2 to go. Of course, no surprise, I'm leaving the NFC East for the last week because we're going to go out with a bang and have a party, and I'm going to might get a little spicy there for that one, because listen, I'm a football fan. I don't like the Cowboys. I definitely don't like the Eagles, and the Commanders are so irrelevant, they don't even know what name they to call them, right? So but that'll be fun. So that means next week we'll go ahead and tackle the NFC North there, and some of those new faces and stuff like that. But for now, we just broke down all the biggest injuries of the NFC West, the biggest injuries that are going to affect this division for the 2024 season. So if there's a guy on here that you want to know more about, or somebody that I didn't mention that you want to know about or about, please just go ahead and comment. Also, like, subscribe if you learned something new, you enjoyed talking ball, or you made it to this part of the episode, right? Because if you made it to this part of the episode, you're absolutely a trooper. So I appreciate you. I appreciate your love for football. That allows me to talk football pretty much year round, because if it wasn't for crazy folks like you, I wouldn't be able to be crazy as well. So, hey guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And yeah, that's it. Let's just wrap this up. All right. So as always, folks, I appreciate you hanging out with me. And until next time, Doc, out of here.